was the title for this morning's New Year, Same Life, but Different. Because I think, you know, it would be easy for us to say, New Year, New Life. But we all know that's just not true. Because we're actually living the same life, we're living in the same circumstances as we were just a week ago. But it can be different. It can be that element of God involved in our lives can make a difference day by day, year by year. So today we're reaching the final session of the series that you've been following, entitled Disciples Who Make Disciples. And this particular part is being people who do what they believe. However, this is, of course, the first Sunday of a new year, 2025. And such an occasion always provides us with a useful opportunity to look back with gratitude and to look forward with hope and determination. Whenever Louise asks me to preach, she always gives me the option of either fitting in with the current series topic or bringing whatever the Lord puts on my heart. Well, this morning I am able, I hope, to do both, to combine the two. So I want, first of all, to help you to do a searching review of where you have come to in your relationship, your walk with God. It's good to do that, isn't it? You may have done that already this week in the lead up to the turning of the calendar. But it's great for us to do that here together in an atmosphere of worship. A sort of how are you doing session. Over the years I've met with, particularly with young men who are wanting to move forward in their relationship with God, sort of helping to disciple them. And I always used to start a session with each individual by saying, how are you doing? And they'd say, fine. And then I'd say, no, how are you doing? And they've often commented on, we know what that meant. That's meant that Chris wants me to be honest with him. And then, having asked a few searching questions, then to address the challenge of this series question, being people who do what they believe. So I'd like to look at both of those things, and by God's grace, reaching a positive and God-inspired conclusion that will help us face the challenge of whatever the coming year may hold for us. Let me give you a text, okay? We like a text. And you might like to use this as a motto for the year. I mean, you've probably got one already, but this is a good one. It's in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. There the Apostle Paul writes this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Over recent weeks, I've been making my way slowly through this letter of Paul, and have found it helpful in all sorts of ways, and particularly as we've been remembering again the coming of God's Son into the world. It was good to be reminded that, as it says in chapter 1, verse 15 of this letter, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's a great Christmas reading there, you know, but it's good for all times, really. The apostle sets out this wonderful gospel for the church in Colossae and for us. And then in chapter 2 and verse 6, we have one of those wonderful therefores. I love a therefore, don't you, when you're reading scripture? Just one of those link words between good, sound doctrine and then, and therefore, this is what you should do. This is the truth for you. This is what you should be doing. And we have that there at the beginning of verse 6 in chapter 2. He's basically saying, because of what God has done through his Son, and because of what I've taught you, just as you received Christ, do this. Just in the same way that you received Christ, do this. And like every good sermon, he has three elements. Paul has three elements in his talks to people through his letters. What does this scripture mean? What does it say to me? And what do I need to do in response? So, head, heart, hands. Which fits beautifully into the series that you've been going through together. He says, therefore, as you received Christ. So what does that mean? What does that mean for you? As you received Christ. In the same way as you received Christ, do this. So let me ask you this question. How did you receive Christ? What did you do? What was it like? Well, my answer to that question would be, well, it was simple and it was complex. Would be my answer. I can say that just under 59 years ago, I knelt at the end of a Salvation Army service and prayed a simple prayer, asking God to forgive my sin and to come into my life. It was simple because my knowledge of God was very, very small. I knew very little about him, and I knew very little about the gospel. I hadn't come up with that sort of background. So for me, receiving Christ was very, very simple. It was, well, I like what I see in these people. I like what they're saying. I would like that. And so please, God, forgive me for trying to live my life without you and making all sorts of mistakes. Would you come into my life? That was it. That was as simple as it was. Simple words, and also simple because I didn't really know much about God. But thinking about it with hindsight, I can see that there was a whole set of circumstances that brought me to that point. Within the last few weeks, we were praying. I can't remember where it was. I think it was in a church prayer meeting or something. But I just had this little phrase drop into my head. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives. that God is doing to bring us to the place where he wants to get us to. For some people, it's painful. For others, it's joyful. But there are all sorts of things, circumstances, that are working in our lives for God to bring us to where he wants us to be. And I believe now, looking back to my 17-year-old self, I can think of all sorts of stuff that was going on around me that brought me to that point of making that simple prayer of receiving Jesus into my life. Simple. So it seems that Paul is saying, in the same way, simply, that you received him, now, simply, continue to live your life in him. As simply as that. As you spoke to him and trusted him in a childlike way, continue to follow, to walk in a similar way. Do you think, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but if like me you've been a Christian like for decades, it can become quite complicated, you know? We can get very complicated in the way, because life happens, doesn't it? Stuff happens, and you try to work your way through it. How does God fit into this, and what does the Bible say about that, and what position should I take on that issue, and whatever, and so on. It can become very complicated. And I think, well, at least this is how I'm taking this, is that Paul is saying, as you receive, in that same way, continue to live with him, walk with him. As you spoke to him and trusted him in a childlike way, then walk in that similar sort of way. Life will bring its complications and complexities, but in the midst of it all, keep your walk, your life, your relationship with Jesus as simple as it was at the start. Many times over the years, I've come back to some words that Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus that's recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 3 to 5. You'll be familiar with these, I'm sure. You have persevered, he says, and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. And love, don't you love the Saviour? Is that he commends his people. He talks to us in those sorts of ways. I know your situation. I know what you've been through. I know what you've done and how you've approached those things. I know how you've endured, and I know that you've not become weary. However, so these are not words of condemnation. They're not there to crush us. The following words are, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I think that's similar to what Paul is saying in his letter to the Colossians. I think there are times in our lives where we need to hear Jesus saying this to us. You've done well, you're okay, you're doing fine, I commend you for what you've been doing, but I have this one thing against you. I don't think this is, it's not a condemning word. It's just saying there's something that I need to talk to you about. Something that needs to be addressed in your life. And it's this, that you've forsaken the love you had at first. Do you remember what that was like? That simple, trusting love. Simple belief that said, you're God, you're in charge, you're Lord of my life, I love you. That simple, simple walk with him. He says, and when he says, see how far you've fallen, it's not, you know, oh, you've fallen away, fallen from grace. It's more, you know, you were doing so well, but look how complicated it's become. how somehow you've lost that simple trust. So he says, repent, in other words, think again, and now do what you did at first. What did you do at first? What did I do at first? I knelt down before this God who I hardly knew anything about and said, I give my life to you. I trust you. And I believe what your Bible says. And I'm going to trust it. I'm going to listen for your voice. Listen to what you say to me. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to do what you say. So this is my second question then. What were the things you did at first? For me, it was simple trust, simple faith, simple words, simple love, expressed in a love for his words. I'd never read the Bible before, so for me, it was an adventure. It was, wow, I just want to know what this says. And thank God that there were people around me that helped me to understand what it meant. A straightforward belief that what I was reading, he was speaking to me. And in addition to that, as an outcome of that, finding ways to serve him and to bless others. So let's go back to our text in Colossians chapter 2. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Walk in him. Live in him and for him. Let your life be shaped and directed by him. Paul goes on in the next chapters of this letter to set out some very practical ways in which this walk will shape and change our lives, all sorts of things he refers to. And he sums it all up in chapter 3 of this letter and verse 17 by saying, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. So this walk with him, this simple trust in him, this conversation that you're having with him day by day, let everything that you do as an outcome of that, let it be for his glory and for his praise. And this brings us happily to the topic for this week in the course that you've been following. Being a disciple of Jesus is not just head and heart. It is both of those. It is about understanding him more. It is about loving him, knowing him, speaking into your heart. But it's also about your hands, what you do, how you live that out, how that changes the way you deal with life and with people. Faith that inspires and motivates our actions. One of the suggested scriptures for this session is Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 to 16. Let me read that to you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, it's head, heart, and hands. Over the past few weeks, all of us, of course, have been focused on and celebrating Jesus' coming as light into a dark world. We've had our services, maybe sometimes in the dark with candles or whatever, celebrating the fact that he came as light into the world. And you know that when light comes into the darkness just cannot survive. You know, you can't bring light into darkness and it not make a difference and a change. That's what we're meant to be doing. He says, you are the light of the world. You know that in another place, he says, I am the light of the world. So effectively what he's saying, I'm the light of the world, and now I'm in you. And you are the light of the world. You are to shine. By the way you live your life, by your example, by your actions, to make a difference. And here, that's what he's saying in Matthew chapter 5, that we, the church, are the light of the world. Some of you know that I record books for the blind, and at the moment I'm recording a book called Between the Lines by a man called Glenn Scrivener. And in his book he asks a question: can Jesus be serious when he says we, the church, are the light of the world? He goes on to say, has he met any Christians? How can he say this, that you're the light of the world? It can't be because of any natural brilliance in believers. No, he says, Christians are the light of the world because Christ is. He is in us. What he is, we become. Individually and corporately as a church. What he is, we become by his grace. He shines as the outgoing brilliance of the Father's love. I was going to call this talk Love Works, because that's what we've celebrated over Christmas. The love of God works. It does stuff. It sent his Son into the world to become one of us. Love works. If it means anything, it means action. It means us doing stuff because of his love for us and at work in us. God's love works. He did something. It was actions, not just words. Not just promises, but promises fulfilled in action. So whatever light we shine is like reflected light. It doesn't come from us, it comes from him. It's our light is a reflection of his light into our lives. We are to reflect Jesus' light and life into the world. Glenn Scrivener in his book goes on to imagine a scene. This is him on, I think it's a phone call. Right. Hello? World of Lanterns, I'd like to register a complaint. I just bought your Lamplight 3000 with high hopes. It says on the box, it gives light to everyone in the house. But I have to say, it's as gloomy as ever in here. What's that? Yes, I filled it with oil. Yeah, and I trimmed the wick, and I lit it just like the instructions say. Yes, well, it started out brilliantly until I put it under a bushel. A bushel. It's an old English. It means bowl. Well, I couldn't find a lampstand, so I thought I'd improvise. What's that? On top of the bowl? My goodness, no. How reckless. No, I'm keeping it safe underneath. Yes, underneath the bowl. What do you mean it's not the lamp that's dim? However ridiculous you might find that situation, Jesus says this is the problem with Christians. Jesus essentially says, let it shine. He doesn't say stoke the fire or try and burn a bit brighter. It's not lighten up or... It's just let it shine. Just let what you know of him, what he's done for you, that love, let it shine. We are light in Jesus. Therefore, what questions would Jesus ask us as a church seeking to reach out to a dark world? Surely questions like, why do you keep yourself to yourself? Do you realize the light that you are? Are you afraid of drawing attention to yourself? Do you realize what's possible when your light is allowed to shine? What are the safe places and times in which you hide from others? Times when you withdraw and think, well, I won't say anything, but I won't do anything, I'll leave that to others. How as a church do you keep the light of your fellowship to keep it from the watching world? As the complaints department from World of Lanterns would have said, the problem's not with the lamp. The problem is where you're putting it. How are you putting it in your life, individually, and as a church, are you putting it in a place where people can see? Now, I know that you are in some respects, but it's a good challenge, isn't it? So to bring this all to a conclusion, let's go back to that verse in Colossians chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, may we, by God's grace, do this in the coming days. And not just for 2025, for the rest of our days. You know, we don't know if we've all got the whole of 2025. That's sobering, isn't it? It's sobering. I mean, the older I get, the more obituaries become scary. When I read them, like people younger than me who've popped off and stuff like that, you think, God, I just want, please, let me live whatever time I have left for your pleasure, for your glory that draws the attention of people to Jesus, your Son, who I love. Let's pray together. Father, we can all remember times in our lives, days in our lives, those times when we simply trusted you. And we thank you. Thank you for that memory. Thank you for the beauty of that simple faith, Lord, of believing that if I say this prayer, this will happen. And we thank you, Lord, that you came into our lives. And thank you that you stayed there because you promised to do that. Lord, we confess that there have been times when our relationship with you has become complicated. Things haven't worked out the way we thought they might do. There have been situations that have arisen that have been painful and difficult, and somehow we found it hard to work out in our heads how you fit into that. We thank you, Lord, that you've told us in your word how simple your love for us is, like the father of the prodigal, the always there, waiting, waiting. We thank you that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And we want to say thank you that you haven't. And thank you for the grace that you've given us to work through some of those difficult circumstances and situations. And still today, Lord, thank you for those moments when we've simply prayed and you've simply made your presence known and felt for the peace that you've given us. And Lord, we just want to say to you today, the beginning of another year, another week, another day, Lord, we want to say to you again, I just want that simple walk with you, Lord. Just as I received you as Lord in my life, I want that to be how it is today, and to live in you, walk with you day by day. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves and for each other and for your church here, that we might be that light into a world that is morally and spiritually dark, Lord. That we will unashamedly shine for you. Bless us, Lord, as individuals and as a church together, Lord, to touch the lives of others with something of your kingly rule. And we ask it for your name's sake.